Joining me now from Leafs Lunch, it is Julie Teixeira. Julia, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Anytime. Fresh off the lunch into an afternoon snack. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is like the best time to come on it because you still got the, you're still coming down from the broadcast thing. So, you know, you've got like this energy still left to expel. So you might as well do it here on this show without Al's brother. By the way, we were talking before about like some player prop bets and some Stanley Cup futures. How into betting are you now because of Al's brother, or do you just glaze over when he's talking about the puck line in a Red Wings Wild game?
So to be completely honest with you, when I first started Leafs Lunch and when I first started hanging with Al's brother in general, whenever he talked about betting, it just go straight to elevator music in my brain. Like I just went right to elevator music. But now I'm kind of into it. I throw down little wagers every once in a while. I like the little ones, like little player, who's going to score, who's going to score first, things like that. I'm into it now, and I wasn't before this year. So we can give him credit for getting this gal on the betting train.
Nice, nice. That's good now, but 2 months from now, and you're sweating the under. You're sweating the under in some random game. We'll readdress it then. To me, like, you know, I was never as into the Nick Ritchie story, but then the Mitch Marner one came down, and to me, the bummer of it all, and by the way, I loved how you worded it about how, why did the Leafs mention Pierre Engvall first and then Mitch Marner? You know, it's like, really?
They're so good at bearing the lead on social media. I'm kind of a graphics nerd. I work in social too with the Bar Down team. So I always notice little details like that. And one thing I always notice with the Leafs social team, and God bless them for this, even if the Leafs lose, they put the winning number, like the larger number of goals next to the Leafs player, even if they lose. So even though the graphic is giving you bad news, it still looks positive. Anyways, that's my nerdy take of the day.
Oh my God. Listen, I was excited. I named the 1987 NFL MVP.
Nice.
So listen,
nice.
Yeah, we're doing, there's a whole lot of nerd going on this show. But the bigger picture is I wanted Marner there because this is a nice sort of take the temperature. And I know Colorado, they're the far favorite to win the Stanley Cup over the Maple Leafs, and they had that big win over Winnipeg. But Toronto has basically the same sort of points percentage, and they beat them earlier like 8-2, and Toronto plays in the harder division than Colorado. I was excited for this game, and it definitely takes it down a notch without Mitch Marner there.
Yeah, you said it. This could have been, and it still will be, a good temperature gauge kind of game. And you always look forward to seeing MacKinnon go up against Matthews, two guys who in my head are kind of similar players. But Mitch Marner, I feel for Mitch Marner. Like, it's kind of been a tough year for him. Before he got that fluky injury, like, started with that fluky injury, you get injured by your teammate Jake Muzzin in practice. Like, that just, you can't get more unlucky than that. And right before that, he was kind of on a hot streak. But let's not forget, at the beginning of the season, the Leafs came out really slow, and the trade Marner crowd was getting loud again. It's just unfortunate. I really would love to see Mitch Marner have a good year this year, and he was showing signs of that right before he got injured. He was kind of quiet when he came back, and now all of a sudden he's on the COVID list. So really lame we won't get to see him tonight. Especially after the Oilers game, when we didn't get to see the McDavid-Matthews matchup. It's like, we can't have nice things. But at least there will be fans in the stands tonight, right?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, actually, let's go there. I was going to, you know, we can come back to Marner in a second. I did find that fascinating, just Sheldon Keefe coming out and saying it feels like a preseason vibe. And I feel bad for, like, hockey players are all about routine and normalcy and schedule. I nap now, I eat now, I do this now. And for the players to go from fans at the ACC to suddenly no fans, like, emotionally, they must be going through the bends just trying to figure that out.
Yeah, and not just that. So emotionally it's annoying, and it's just like not best case scenario. But I heard Dreger mention on Insider Trading last night, he brought up a really interesting point about how it might even be a competitive disadvantage for Canadian teams for a lot of reasons. Like, 1A, you never have a home crowd, right? That's the most obvious competitive disadvantage. 1B, players aren't super interested in coming to Canada right now because of the restrictions. And you can feel how you want to feel about the restrictions, but the fact of the matter is a lot of guys aren't super interested in coming up here right now. And the third is the condensed schedule that the Canadian team specifically are going to have. So as much as the no fans thing just looks like an eyesore to fans, I think it even goes deeper than that. And you're right about routine. Like, this morning my Bluetooth wasn't working. This is a hilarious example. I have a specific playlist that I listen to on the way to the office to do the Leafs Lunch show daily. And this morning my Bluetooth was being weird and I couldn't listen to my very specific playlist, Matt. And it just threw off my whole day. I can't imagine like taking a whole arena of people out of my game day equation.
Now wait a minute. You're still one of the lucky ones that gets to go to the office.
I'm literally the only person at TSN 1050, other than of course 20, and then our great producers. But in terms of on-air people, I think I'm the only one still going to the office.
How hard is it to get into the giant CTV building?
Oh, it's like Fort Knox. Like, it's tough right now. But I don't know. We and AB were laughing today because we sit on Zoom now. And instead of like looking at one another across the table and occasionally, you know, how we mute sometimes, we talk to one another, we plan our next move on the show. Now I've got him on Zoom. And today we had Chris Johnson on. And Chris Johnson is like just such a beauty. And he was so graceful in this moment. We have similar hand signals for wrapping a segment and for a follow-up question. And I gave the signal to rap, and AB thought I had a follow up, and it was just awkward.
I've heard
a little bit of a battle.
I've heard a couple 3 second pauses coming out of break, and yeah. It takes a while. Like, it absolutely takes a while just to get into that routine and that rhythm. And by the way, by the time you guys have got it figured out, you know, you'll be back in this, hopefully both back in the studio together. Going back to Mitch Marner for a second, like, if you were going to say the number one issue with the Leafs is blank, I would go with Marner. And it's not out of I'm super disappointed or anything of that with him, but he hasn't hit his ceiling. And for the Leafs to actually break through and do the thing they haven't done for a while, it's going to require all of them at their top level, like the core four. So if I'm going to look at the Leafs and my biggest issue with the team right now, it might be Marner and the lack of production on the first power play.
I give Marner a little bit of a pass. And it's not even a lack of production, because actually if you look at the stats, I saw that graphic, no goals, 99 games or something crazy like that. But if you look at the power play points per 60 stats over the last over this season, rather, Mitch Marner is actually in the top five, and that's just as a result of him producing assists. So he's not producing goals on the power play, and I don't know if people will be in my Twitter mentions after this, but assists are 0.2,
yes,
leads to a goal,
yes,
and
will,
he puts up a lot of those on the power play. So he's more of a setup guy in that scenario. For me, if I were to say the biggest, and I don't even want to say problem, because the Leafs are just, they're doing great right now, if I would say the biggest red flag to me about the Leafs, is that I still don't know if I trust that Hall-Muzzin pairing the same way that I did last year. And it's
yeah.
so vital to trust the pairing that was once the Leafs' top pairing that looks a little bit lackluster this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree that if it's not Marner, and I put Marner higher because his impact may be even more, but you're right. The Hall-Muzzin thing has been, I mean, it's definitely been a constant conversation just because of how well they played together last year. Going back to their opponent taking on Colorado, okay, I'm joined by Julie Cesari from Leafs Lunch. Were you aware the Kadri's got 42 points in 27 games? Why has no one informed me of this? Like, I think because the last time these teams played, I was in South Africa, and I was a little busy trying to find my way home.
We were so occupied,
We've been occupied with South African wine and Air Canada flight changes, but I was unaware of just the numbers that Kadri is putting up. I'm just curious your thoughts about, I mean, a lot of that's him and just the talent around him, but that's a remarkable year he's having.
Especially when you factor in, like, Nate McKinnon has 4 goals on the season, and the Avs have scored 50 goals in their last, like, 10 or so games, just something crazy like that. And a lot of that people are pointing at Nazem Kadri and saying, hey, where'd this guy come from? We saw, and he's got to be like, I just had Luca Celebre, who's my buddy from Bar Down, and he's such a big Avs fan that he might as well be an Avs insider, honestly. He just knows everything in terms of the inner workings of that team. But Nathan Kadri has 30 assists on the season already. Like, that's a career high, and we're not even at the halfway point yet. He was a real heart and soul guy in Toronto. Like, the only time people really started to turn on Nazem Kadri in Toronto was when he got suspended for those couple playoffs in a row. And of course it happened again in Colorado too, but what a season for him so far. And if we're talking about guys who, I don't know, the true sense of the Hart Trophy guys, and that's the kind of a crazy thing to say, but guys who are the most valuable player to their respective team, like, Nazem Kadri's kind of been that for the Avs so far this season, and they've been through it with injuries, with COVID, and Nazem Kadri has been the guy for a really talented team this season. So I think that speaks to just how good he is and how good he's been this year.
All right, I'm looking it up. Colorado minus 132. This is just a win. We're not going to do puck lines or anything like that. Toronto plus 130. Where's Julia Teixeira going on the Leafs-Colorado game tomorrow night? No Mitch Marner in the lineup. These teams are fairly, you know, in terms of just talent and production this year, you can make a case either way. Where does Julia go for this game?
I'm taking the Leafs, and I'm also taking the over. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair, especially with that 8-3 game that went down in Toronto a few weeks ago.
Love it. Julia Teixeira, you listen to her every day, Monday to Friday, 12 to 1, Leafs lunch. Thank you so much for joining the show. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the weekend. And by the way, because I listen, did you get some did you get some windshield wiper fluid in your car yet?
I can't confirm or deny that.
Oh,
I have
you
fixed
did it.
Everything.
You did it. It's snowing this morning.
I hope my dad's not listening. I got to be better with the car.
Where do you drive from? How far are you from Vic Park, from McCowan and the 401?
Downtown Toronto. It's like a quick whip up the DVC.
Okay. No. Then you're okay. Hopefully, hopefully the trip on the DVP is okay for you because of that accident from earlier. But take care. Enjoy the weekend and just go to a gas station. It's really easy. I'm a dummy and I can figure it out.
Okay. I can do that. That'll be my weekend project.
All right. That's you'll have plenty of free time after. Take care.
Thanks, Matt.